desire interest in your prayers today. I guess all of us have kind of themes in our lives, things that seem to be predominant thoughts and characteristics about us. And if you hear me talk very much, you'll hear thoughts that kind of parallel what we have to say today. Sometimes I wonder if I just kind of get stuck in a rut. I want to be able to express all of the different thoughts that the Lord might have for us as people, as His people. But I don't want to stray away from something that He is trying to address and trying to challenge each one of us with. So I'd like for us to look over here in Psalms today, 90th Psalm, and we'll start down here about the 10th verse. And in my Bible, at the top of this Psalm, it says, I said all that to begin with to say that if you recognize something that sounds familiar with something else I've said, ask the Lord to help us all to get a hold of it, and we'll move on to something else, I guess. Here in this 90th Psalm, at the top of the Psalm, my Bible says that it's a prayer of Moses. And I thought that was a little unusual, being in Psalms, and looked up to see what Adam Clark had to say about it, and he says that it seemed like all down through ancient history that this psalm was accredited to Moses. He finds that his reasoning was that it probably wasn't the Moses we think of that was the deliverer out of the Egypt, because it talks about in the 10th verse, and before we're going to start, that the promised time on here at earth was just 70 years. But anyway, whether it was Moses that we think about, the one that led the children of Israel out of Egypt and across the Red Sea and through the wilderness and over to the edge of the promised land, or whether it was someone else named Moses, it was a prayer to God, this psalm is, and he's desiring that the Lord would look down on them and have mercy on his people, God's people, as help them out of the trouble they're in and forgive them of their transgressions. Here in the 10th verse it says, "The days of our years are 70 years and 10. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow. For it is soon cut off and we fly away." So it really doesn't matter what he's saying here is whether we live 70 years or even longer, it still takes perseverance to maintain life here, and then we're just, life is going to be over. And it really doesn't matter whether we've lived a really long time, and Brother Porter's 100 years old, and that's an exceptional long life to live here on this earth, but whether we live a long time or not, sooner or later, this mortal body is going to fizzle out on us and our spirit is going to fly away. And we're going to be face to face with God. He says, "Who knoweth the power of thine anger, even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long? How long is it going to be, Lord, before you have mercy on us? And let it repent thee concerning thy servants, This prayer is asking for forgiveness. He says, how long, Lord, before you'll change your mind about our circumstances here? A writer is also saying, I realize that whether life is when children and young people look on someone that's 70 or 80 or 100 years old, they think, my, that's a long, long time. That'll never come to me. You know, that's so far out, I can't even imagine it, living that long. But the one that is that old, they seem like life has just been a brief little span of time. Just like yesterday when they were a child. So life comes down to the end, and our spirit is going to leave the body someday. And the desire that I see in this prayer is really in this 12th verse. He says, so teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. I'd like for us to talk about applying our hearts unto wisdom today. And I want us to think about what it means to apply ourselves. I'd like for us to turn over here to Proverbs. Read a couple verses over there. Second chapter of Proverbs, and we'll start in the first verse. It says, my son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom, and apply thine heart unto understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. Notice in the beginning of this passage, there's conditional words. If. My son, if thou wilt receive my words. It's conditional on you and I. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thy heart to understanding, if thou criest after knowledge. If, that's conditional. If thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if, that's conditional again, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures. You ever read any stories about back in the, I'm not going to say the date because I don't remember exactly, but back in the mid to early 1800s, the gold rush they had in out on the West Coast. And then there was other rushes for precious metals, maybe copper or silver or something like that. Someone found some in a stream bed or something like that, and there's a rush. And people was forsaking families, homes, young men and fathers disappeared sometimes, not even telling their family where they were going, and going to California with gold in their eye and anticipation of being rich. Went out there and sacrificed all the comforts they might have had at home and all the relationship they had with their family. A lot of them, a big percentage of them, died in failure. They got out there looking for gold, or maybe it was silver or something else in the different places of the country. They got out there applying themselves. Some of them done well. Probably the ones that were in town and sold the mining equipment and food and clothes and stuff like that, probably done better than the ones that were digging the stuff out of the ground. But they got something in their mind and they got it in their heart And they got a gleam in their eye, and they wanted it. And they went after it. A lot of them lost their life. But they wanted it. Someone come by and try to reason with them and tell them that it'd been better off just to buy them some more farm ground and apply themselves to be a little bit better farmer. They wouldn't listen to you. They had gold in their eye. That's what was on their mind, and that's what they was going after. And this verse here tells me that to be a real Christian and being where God wants me to be is conditional. It's conditional of if I want it. And if I'll apply myself. It says, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom. I'm not trying to preach to you today of a self-righteousness and self-salvation. That's not what I wanted. That's not the message I want you to hear. What I want you to hear today is, unless you and I are willing to apply our hearts, are willing to apply our energies and our desires toward godly things, we're not going to get it. This verse here says, incline thine ear. That means that you are going to have to turn your ear in the direction that God's words is coming from, and away from the words of the world and the words of the false prophets and the other things that are out there that will distract you and me. I'm going to have to incline my ear. I'm going to have to turn it towards God and godly things. I have to make an effort. No, I'm not saving myself. And the righteousness from within is not mine. But I have to take it. See, it's conditional on me. It's conditional on my frame of mind of how bad do I want it. Do I want to live for the Lord like those fellas wanted that gold? That was running the gold rush. And they were running to California. Stomping on their fellow man. Disregard. All kinds of fights broke out because of the pins in the ground of where their claim limits were. A lot of people lost their lives just feuding over the boundary lines. They was intent on getting rich. I wonder how intent we are. I am. This is for me too. How intent am I on gaining heaven as my home? It says, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures. How much searching have you done? How much searching have I done? How much applying of my heart have I done? Want to be successful at this? We're going to have to apply ourselves. Then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. That second verse says, apply thine heart to understanding. Apply thine heart. You do something. See, it's conditional. If we want to be close to the Lord, if we want to have the power of God in our lives, it's conditional. I remember my mother had an experience with a woman, a neighbor. I wasn't a close neighbor. They lived, kind of halfway across a little old town we grew up in, 4 or 5 blocks maybe. And this woman was charismatic. And she was telling Mama that one time how she knew that she had this spirit that she was under was of God and all of this. And she said she was in the kitchen one day just doing dishes or whatever, and this thing just jumped on her, it fell on her, and she started talking in tongues. And I want to tell you today, if you're going to live close to the Lord, it's not going to jump on you. You're not going to be washing dishes someday, and all of a sudden, or mowing the grass, or whatever your little chores are around the house, or on your job. You're not going to be just going about your everyday material life, and all of a sudden, God jump on you, and you're holy. That's not going to happen. You're going to have to want it. I'm going to have to want it. I have to want to please the Lord. It's conditional on me. It's conditional. God is there. He's standing at the door and knocking. He desires to come in and be part of your life. But He's not going to jump on you. He's not going to mow down the fence and come in there and get in with you until you open the gate. Until you invite Him in. Until I apply my heart and my mind to understanding. You know, over in 2 Timothy, we read some Old Testament verses. Let's read one in the New Testament. Over in 2 Timothy, 2nd chapter, down here in about the 15th verse, it says, "Study to shew thyself approved unto God." I like this verse, but it's always a challenge to me. I trust it will be to you. "Study to shew thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." What does it mean to be a workman that needeth not to be ashamed? You ever have anybody come behind you, or you go behind somebody else? I'm not talking about walking behind them. I'm talking about working with somebody, and maybe they made a repair on something, and then the next time this piece of machinery needed some repair, it was your turn to fix it. And you go in there and you take the lids off, raise the hood or whatever, and you look under there and, my, there's bolts missing. And, well, there's a part that's not even there. There should have been a bracket over here. And why did they lay those wires over on the exhaust? Kind of my work experiences sometimes. And you're standing there scratching your head thinking, you know, it came in for one thing that maybe not be related to this, but I see all these other problems that's fixing to happen. I don't like falling behind somebody like that. I don't like raising the hood on something that somebody else has worked on, and I don't mind working on something when somebody else has, but I like for them to be careful about it. And you raise the hood and there's things gone. Why didn't they take the time to put it back on? I like to go behind somebody that's careful. Puts things back like he found it. And maybe improves it a little bit. Maybe reroutes it to where those wires won't rub on that thing that's jiggling up and down all the time. What about you and I as a Christian? "A workman that needeth not be ashamed." Is that what that said? "A workman that needeth not to be ashamed." What if somebody comes after me in my spiritual experience? What's he going to find? Did Brother Danny leave a lot of loose ends? A lot of questions? Well, what kind of fellow was he, really? You know, in my line of work, we call people that kind of cobble stuff up, we call them shade trees. Well, they shade treed that job. Just kind of made a mess out of it. It'll take you more time to straighten up what they messed up than it will to really fix the problem sometimes. What am I leaving behind? Am I a workman that needeth not to be ashamed? You know, it takes perseverance. Sometimes we get into things in my occupation that it's no fun. It may be extremely dirty and nasty and greasy. And sometimes things are extremely difficult to get to. I can't get my hands down in there and I can't see what I'm doing. Sometimes things are kind of tough spiritually. Kind of get some tough battles sometimes. How am I ever going to get the victory over this temptation or this problem? You know, when our children come in behind us and they say, they see that mama and daddy overcome those temptations and those obstacles in their lives, you know, they're going to be able to say, well, if mom and dad done it, I can too. That's a workman that needeth not to be ashamed of what he done. Am I leaving a life for others to look on that looks like a jumble and a mess and needs straightening out? I'm not saying we won't make mistakes. But when we make mistakes, do others see us go back and say, I'm sorry, I wish I hadn't have done that. If I could go pick up all those feathers, I would, but I made a mistake. Will you forgive me? Pray for me that I won't do that again. Talking about you and I applying ourselves to be a Christian and to live for the Lord. It says here, study to shew thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. It says, but shun profane and vain babbling, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. You know, there's a couple fellas come along here, and apparently they took the prophecy of the resurrection of all of the dead at the last day, and they said, well, the resurrection was back when Jesus come up out of the grave or something. I don't know what they said. But what they said was wrong. They said the resurrection's already happened. And it was wrong. You know, if you and I don't apply ourselves, somebody will come along with some little false doctrine. Somebody will come along with some little strange idea, and we'll buy into it. But if you and I will apply ourselves, we'll be able to follow the Lord all of our lives. It says here that these people had erred and gone astray. 19th verse says, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. That means it was right where it was in the beginning. It's the foundation in God's design for mankind and His desire for dedication in a Christian life is just like it always was. It hadn't changed any. It says it standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. He knows. God knows who's applying their self and who's not. God knows who's really putting an effort into it. Having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His, and let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. You know, in our nation we have laws and then law enforcement to back it up, that children receive an education. And whether or not they're able to track down every delinquent or not, I don't know, but kind of doubt it. A lot of people out there in the world, but there's laws designed to see that children get an education. that they'll be able to read and write and calculate numbers and values, and be able to reason and know some geography and some world history and all those type of things. There's laws out there that says you must have your, you must educate your children. And to go along with that, they take tax dollars and provide a public education system. If you choose to educate your children a different way, that's, as long as they get educated, that's the bottom line. As long as they learn the tools they need to be able to function in our society. And way back years ago, the people that wrote those laws, the reason they done that is, why'd they do that? Because not everybody was teaching their children to read and write. And illiteracy was a real problem. And arithmetic was a problem. And the people that wanted these laws to be in effect knew that if people couldn't cipher, that's an old word for arithmetic, if they couldn't cipher, they could be taken advantage of. And they knew that if they didn't have at least a basic education, they would never get above just menial tasks and maybe plowing the ground. They had visions of this country being a great nation. So they had these laws. We kind of started putting these laws in effect, providing schools so we could educate our children. If we just left it, you know, there's people today that wouldn't send their children to school, wouldn't provide any kind of education for their children if they weren't just a little bit fearful that somebody might come and make them send them to school. Is there anything like that that's going to make you be a Christian? Make you live for the Lord? I don't know of anything. If you want it, you're going to have to apply yourself. See, it's conditional. It's conditional. If I want to go to heaven, I'm going to have to apply myself to live for the Lord. Nobody's going to come along, oh, when we're children at home and our parents have jurisdiction over us, there's certain things they're going to make us do. Certain things I make my children do. And they participate in family worship whether they want to or not. Right now. But there's going to come a time that's going to be conditional for them. If they want to live for the Lord, they're going to have to want to. See, I'm not really making them. I'm teaching them right now. And sometime they're going to transform from a child to an adult. And they're going to have to make those decisions on their own if they want to live for the Lord. If they want to live for the Lord. They're going to have to apply theirself. You're going to have to apply yourself. And I have to apply myself. So how well are we doing? You know, after you get out of high school in this country, if you want more education, it's conditional if you want it. Right now we don't have, there might be someday, but right now we don't have any laws or requirements from the judicial system. Some corporations, some companies, you go and apply for a job and you start filling out their application, and the ones that don't have an education beyond the 12th grade, they're just going to throw them out. They're not even going to consider you. They're looking for someone that applied themselves and got furthered their education. If you get out of school and you want to go to some kind of adult education class, learn a trade, you want to be a welder or a barber or a chef or something like that, it's conditional. You have to do it. You have to want to do it. There's no committee or enforcement agency in God's army that's going to come along and say, "I'm going to make you be a Christian." You have to want to do that. I'm convinced that consistent Christian living can only come from applying ourselves, from studying to shew ourselves approved before who? Approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. How much do I apply myself? How much do I apply myself before coming down to a service like this? Driving down and all of that. How much did I apply myself? I know all about the pressures of life. Maybe not your exact pressures, but I know about them. I have them in my life. I have things in my life that take my time. I have a job I go to. I have a family that I want to spend time with. And then we have these other things that we... Sometimes we have things like hobbies. Sometimes we have things like projects. We've been remodeling our house for a long time now. That's my project. And you know what happens? If I begin applying myself to my project too much, it takes time away from me applying myself to living for the Lord. If I begin applying myself to finishing my sheetrock or getting the wiring done or something like that for a particular room, if I let that thing take too much of a precedence in my everyday life, spend a little bit of time with them. And we have to sleep a little bit. Applying ourselves. How much do you apply yourself? And how much do I apply myself? See, it's an everyday thing. And it's conditional. How bad do you want it? Do you want it like those fellas wanted the gold that was out there in California or wherever they went? Do you want it that bad? You'll get it. If you want it that bad, you'll get it. If you want to be close to the Lord that bad, you'll get it. If I don't apply myself, I won't get it. I'll come down to the end of life's way and I'll find I've got a disaster on my hands. I won't be able to stand before the Lord. You know, sometimes you feel like it and sometimes you don't. I'm talking about living for the Lord. Sometimes you feel encouraged and inspired and maybe something has happened and a little disappointing thing and you took it to the Lord in prayer and He just answered that prayer. Worked something out for you and oh, you feel, I got a testimony now. I feel inspired and enthused and I know I'm going to be able to have victory now. And next week, maybe it seems like everything is going bad. Everything you touch falls apart on you. And it's a struggle to keep your courage up. And you get down before the Lord and you say, "Lord, I need something to help me out in this time. I feel discouraged. It seems like nothing I do really turns out right here the last couple of days," or whatever the situation might be. And it seems like He doesn't answer, so to speak. It seems like it's so difficult to be courageous in those times. And those are the times the devil wants to come along and say, "What's the use? How much good is it doing you now?" Those are the times that We must apply ourselves. We must apply ourselves. We must make the time. We must make the time to apply ourselves and have that desire. Lord, I got words of a song here somewhere, I think, in my Bible. Chorus says, "For whatever it takes, draw closer to the Lord." That's what I'll be willing to do. When I feel like it and when I don't. Because I know, I'm convinced, that the outcome of my spiritual life in the end, I'm talking about down at death's door, the outcome of my spiritual life is going to be conditional on how much I really applied myself. How bad I really wanted to be saved. How bad I really wanted to please the Lord. But if I just go along through life and don't really apply myself, I'm going to come down to the end of the way and I'm going to have an empty bag, so to speak. My cross is going to be too short. I'm going to find that I've made concessions with the world. And I've got confusion into my mind as what's right and wrong if I didn't apply myself. See, that's where confusion will come. If I apply myself and really have a desire, Lord, I really want to know. Help me to find a scripture somewhere that'll point me in the right direction. The Lord will be faithful. You know, the writer of this song says, whatever it takes. What if it takes several days or several months or maybe even a year or two before the Lord answers the question you had? Do you want to go to heaven that bad? Do I want to go to heaven that bad? How much am I willing to apply myself? You know, we live in a world that is kind of common for people not to apply themselves. There's kind of an old adage that says just hit it a lick and a promise. And that's all they want to do. Just kind of make a swipe at getting the job done and just let the results fall where they may. You know what's going to happen if we treat our Christian experience with the Lord like that? We're going to come up short. Sooner or later, with that kind of application of my desire, the enemy's going to trip me up. And he's going to get me in a trap that I don't see a way out. He's going to get me in a place to where I feel like, there's no reason to try anymore. I'm gone. I can't be happy and be saved at the same time. He'll get you. You get where you don't apply yourself, and there'll be confusion come in. Well, I don't know. Is that right or is that wrong? Is that really something the Lord wants out of me or not? Well, I don't know. Well, I don't see why there'd be anything wrong with that. And confusion will come in. And why did it happen? Because I got lax. I'm talking about me and you not really applying ourselves. Just look over here in Matthew 17th chapter and down here about the 14th verse. It says here, and when they were come to the multitude, this is after Jesus was transfigured before some of the disciples, and it says, when they were come to the multitude, come down off the mountain, there came to him a certain man, kneeling down to him, saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he's a lunatic and sore vexed, for oftentimes he falleth into the fire and oft into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could not we cast him out? Why couldn't we do that? We tried, and it didn't work. And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, You know how big a mustard seed is? It's not like a kernel of corn. And it's not like a peach seed or something like that. It's little bitty. He said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible to you. Howbeit, if, it's conditional. Howbeit, this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting, by applying yourself to living for the Lord and seeking His face. How much do I apply myself? How much do you apply yourself to living for the Lord? This kind of manifestation of God's power doesn't come on a whim, in a spur of the moment impression. Yes, I believe the Lord can lead us by the moment. In a short period of time, He can give us direction. But this power, this manifestation of faith and power, is going to come by you applying yourself, or by me applying myself. How much do you think these fellas that excel in sports, how much do they apply their self? A lot. How much sacrifices do they make? A lot. Because they want to be the best. They pull out all the stops when it comes to exercise routines and maybe diet. Maybe they're extravagant in other ways. Most of them have some kind of problem. But pull out all the stops. They really put their heart into it. And that's what this boils down to. Oh, am I really putting my heart into living for the Lord? Or if I'm just kind of haphazard, bumping along, trying to be a Christian? What's it going to take? Do you want somebody that you're paying to do a service, or you're paying wages to someone to come and work on your house or work on your car or babysit your children? Do you want them just to be haphazard and careless about it? I don't. If I'm paying money for a service, I want to see somebody that's does a good job and is careful, impresses me with their abilities. That's what I expect. You go into a place to eat and somebody come along and is sloppy with the way they're waiting on the tables and maybe spill something on you, that doesn't impress me. Someone that's very careful and meticulous, and that impresses me. They're applying themselves. They're trying to do a good job. So the question I want us to try to ask ourselves, each one of us, and I'm included, how much do I apply myself to living for the Lord in my everyday life, in studying, in prayer? Jesus told them that you don't get this kind of power by just goofing off. It comes by prayer and fasting, by application of your desire to live for the Lord. You know, sometimes we look on at people that have obtained material or spiritual levels that are way above us. We look on at someone that started out in life, if we want to use financially, or at the same kind of level and as far as education and home life and all of that. We look on at somebody that started out at the same place we did, and 20 years later, they're way up the ladder. from me. We look on at someone that was a young person, was a teenager with me or you. And we go down the road a few years, 3 or 4 years or 5 years or 20 years or 30 or 40 years. And we look on and say, my, they've really turned out to be an instrument in the hand of the Lord. They're really a vessel to honor in the house of the Lord. Sometimes we look on things like that and this feeling of kind of envy or jealousy sometimes comes up. I'm not saying that we're envious or jealousy, but we wonder, wow, is that fair for them to be there? It's the thoughts that come to our mind. Why couldn't I have that? Why couldn't I be in that spot? How hard did you try? How hard did I try? Someone that appears to have a good understanding of the Scriptures and can quote verses, and someone try to quote something and they say, oh, that's over in such and such book. I believe it's down there about the 8th chapter and the 10th verse. And you think, I wish I could do that. How hard did I try? How hard did you try? We look at someone and we admire the place that they've matured into with the Lord, and we say, I wish I could be there. How hard did I try? How much did I apply myself? Or was I too busy finishing my sheetrock and landscaping my yard? Or how busy was I getting ahead and on my job and going up the ladder financially? How much did I try? How much did I apply myself? See, over there in Proverbs, he says, if you want it, it's conditional. You're going to have to incline your ear. You're going to have to turn your ear to start to listen to the Lord and seek out His Word. You're going to have to incline your ear. And you're going to have to apply your heart. Living for God and being a success as a Christian is not something that's just foreordained or preordained or whatever for just a select group. That's not the way it is. It's for you and it's for me. And every one of us can come up to the end of life's way. It doesn't matter what race we are. It doesn't matter what gender we are. And it doesn't matter where we come from in life status. Whether we come from a place of being well-to-do and having lots of earth's good on hand, or where we come from a place, a walk in life where we didn't have hardly anything as far as material goods. It doesn't, that those things doesn't matter. What it is conditional on, there's what it's conditional, see? It's conditional on you and I first seeing our need and coming to the Lord and asking Him to forgive us and confessing with our mouth and believing with our heart. That's where it starts. And then for us to have the ultimate success, we have to apply ourselves day in, day out. When we really feel like it and we feel kind of disenchanted about it. So wherever you are today, I want to encourage you to apply yourself. It doesn't matter where we are. It doesn't matter if we look like we're ahead of those around us. We still have to apply ourselves. Because the devil will creep, it doesn't matter where you're at, he'll creep in and cause confusion if he can. And he'll snooker you and take you down to eternal torment. You pray for me.